That's right. Okay, we are on Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. We're going to start again. Top line. Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Hayuba Kachim Kadashim. I think that's the way it's supposed to say. Hayuba Kachim. I'm sorry. We'll take it back. Hayuba Kachim. There were things that belonged to Hegdish in the Ari Mikla, in the Irinidachas. Kachim is Beach Yamusu. The Kachim is Beach cannot be brought because it is not becoming for the Mizbeach to receive Kravanas from Yushoim who were members of the Irinidachas. Kachim Berekabayis Yivdu. Kachim Berekabayis should be redeemed. Trumas Yerkavu. Trumas allowed to rot. By the way, Kachim Berekabayis Yivdu. Rashi's opinion means you redeem it, then you can use the item. Other Rishayim learn. You redeem it, and then you have to destroy the item because it becomes shlala. That's questionable. We're not going to get involved. We're going to learn like Rashi, and we're going to say that it does. You redeem it and keep it. Trumas yirkavu. Trumas are left to rot. Ma'isasheni b'kisri akaydish ignizu. Ma'isasheni and anything holy like mezuzas, tefillin, sefer Torah, svarim are supposed to be get geniza. Rashi hayav akachim isveach and oilus hashamas for rishon b'taycha. The oilus and the hashamas of the rishon in it. The hidul akrinibu is called behemta l'bicharev. True, that it's not considered part of the behemta, the hoi behemta. It's not ownership. It's not individually owned. The behemi shemayim. Elam yisusihu. It is disgusting. L'hakim kabbanah shor rishon halolus shuhotchu. It is disgusting to bring on the mizbeach the kabbanahs of these rishon that had become yirnidachas. Hukuk yamusu. Kainzinais of a kippah, we put them into a kippah, machilinais and sairin, we feed them sairin, achakrais and lefkas till their stomach splits, tapilu demeim usr, even their money is usr, kitlakamana, as the Gemara will explain later on. Now we stop right here, mashmada the tzaddikim's karbanas are yes brought. The way Rashi makes it sound now, we're going to see later on that's the machloikas, but the way Rashi makes it sound now, there is, according to the tzaddikim's karbanas are safe, because it's Rashi stresses the hakuf karbanas shel rishoyim halolu shehutchu, right? To bring the karbanas of the rishoyim who went off the day of the deep end and served them at Izara, mashma that the righteous people in town, there's nothing wrong with their karbanas. Now, even though their possessions are burned, this is not their possession. The only reason we don't want to bring the carbon is because it's disgusting for the mizbeach that this carbon be brought. So therefore, that's true for a Rashi's carbon, not necessarily true for a tzaddik's carbon. However, we will see that it's not so simple. Yes?
What happened to the behemoths after they died? Did you burn them, or what?
No, they buried them.
You
buried them, yes.
We're
going to be speaking about each one of these is going to be discussed at length in the Gemara.
Okay, it just seems odd that it uses a different term for Maizu Sheni as it does for true.
Yes. Because Ma'aseh Sheni, the Taisa Shem Tov asked your question, Taisa Shem Tov says that Ma'aseh Sheni is something that everybody's allowed to eat. And therefore, we don't want to leave it around to rot. We want it out of here. So therefore, it's Jignazu. Whereas Truma, it's only for Kayan, and we trust that the Israelim don't eat it anyway. No, neither of the two are getting eaten. They're both being disposed of. One is Yerkavu, which would have been the preferred way of doing it. Just let it rot and decompose. Ma'aseh Sheni is the less preferred way of doing it, but it's because we have greater fear that people will come to eat it than we do by Truma. That's what the Taisa Shem Tov said. There are other truths I'm given as well, but that's the Taisa Shem Tov's discussion.
Anybody finds it 100 years later?
I hope it decomposes in the ground by 100 years later. It's biodegradable, whatever the word is.
Maybe it was poisoned the money.
What?
You had money, Ma'aseh Sheni.
We're not talking about money. The money we'll see in a minute. Shimon darshins from Behemta. The Gemara will explain what is his drasha, that only its animals are killed, not the behemoth of Bechor or Meiser. The Gemara is going to want to know why does Shimon need his drasha. We will find out. Rashi Shimon will come up in Farish Taima. Shlala prat l'kesef hegdish l'kesef Meiser. The money of hegdish and the money of Meiser can be used. They are not destroyed. So there's your answer. What happens to the money of Meiser? Okay. Amar Ma, Hayuba Kachim, Kachim is Beach Yamusu. Says if there is Kabanas there, we put them into Kippah, and they die, they're basically given to be fed barley, and they die. The Achrenim do elaborate, again, I'm just mentioning the question, that earlier in the Masechta when we discussed Kippah, earlier in the Masechta when we discussed Kippah, we differentiated between humans and animals. whereas humans were given the barley treatment, animals were allowed to starve to death. They didn't give them the barley. Earlier in the Masechta, we talked about animals in the kippah. We put them in there and let them starve to death. By humans in the kippah, we gave them the barley treatment. Here we seem to be giving them the barley treatment as opposed to the starvation treatment. The Achranim want to know why, and they give different reasons why the animals appear nidachas. It's important for us to, like, hasten their departure, as opposed to over there, which is the question of getting it out of the way. No rush. There was no immediate rush here. The mitzvah yar Torah. Get rid of the inhabitants and their possessions as fast as you can. The barley system works faster than the starvation system, and therefore we go that way. Again, it's a side issue. I just wanted to point it out. And the question is, why are we killing them? Why are we killing them? Why can't we let them graze till they develop a blemish? We will sell them. Remember, it doesn't belong to the people there in Nidachas anymore, because the people there in Nidachas, this is a carbon, belongs to Hekdish. The only reason we're not bringing it is a carbon because we think it's unseemly, it's disgusting for the Mizbeach to have these carbonas brought. So don't bring them. Let them develop a mum, sell it, and use their money to give it to the pushka over there that is collected for when the Mizbeach is empty. Why can't we use it for that? We won't be bringing the animal, and we'll be using the money in a Hegdish way. It's Hegdish's property. Why are we disposing of it? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Zevach Rishoyim Te'eva. Rabbi Yechanan says that the Zevach of Rishoyim is so disgusting that even their money we don't want going on the Mizbeach. Even money that's received from those kind of animals, we don't want that on the Mizbeach. Rashi, Zevach Rishoyim Te'eva, Vafilu Tamei and Asurim. Now, here the Meiri brings the Machlokes Rishoyim, what happens to the Tzaddikim's animals? I mentioned before that from Rashi's Mashma, only the Rishoyim Shehutchu. Here the Meiri brings two opinions in the Rishoyim. The Tzaddikim's animals, would we bring them, A, number one? Number two is, even if you don't bring them, would we at least let it develop a woman use their money? They're not Rishoyim. They're not Zevach Rishoyim Te'eva. Some say we would, and some say that no, that being in the Ur Nidachas for this halacha makes everybody Rishoyim, meaning we don't want anything in that Ur Nidachas going on that Mizbeach, period. Whether the owner happened to be one of the people that did serve a Venezara, whether the owner was a person that didn't serve a Venezara, we don't want any possession in that city entered on the Mizbeach. End of story. And that's for this, everybody is considered Zevach Rishoyim Te'eva. Meiri brings the Machloikos Rishoyim, so I don't pick sides in Machloikos Rishoyim. From Rashi in the beginning, it says Rishoyim Halolu Shehutchu, that means Rashi seems to be stressing that we're only interested in the Rishoyim's Kabbanis, but that the Tzadikim's Kabbanis is no problem. So I'm just pointing out, it is a Machloikos Rishoyim, Rashi seemingly taking one of the two sides.
Well,
yes.
Why the Tzadikim's possessions get burned?
Because, well, it's a Xeris HaKasav. Rav Shimon gave a reason. Remember, right. In this kind of thing, there's a machlokes Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon always whether the reasons dictate the halacha or not.
What was the reason?
He said because the fact that they lived in this city was because of their money, because of their possessions.
So they're Rishoyim because of that.
They're not Rishoyim, we don't kill them.
Right.
But as far as their possessions are concerned, it caused them to be living in this environment for that, therefore their possessions get burned. Again, I want to make it clear to Machlokes Tanoim whether we give reasons. It's not everybody gives a reason.
So what was timing, so that Machlokes, if Shimon has nothing to do with.
You could say that according to Rav Shimon, it just doesn't belong to them, therefore this is not the reason they lived here, perhaps. You could find in that. Yes?
Many, many years ago, you used to say there was no such thing as a double question. Over the course of the years, I've come to think that there is such thing as a double question. This sounds like a double question, but it's been bothering me. Which is that we have a general rule that there's no collection of Klal Yisrael which has a shleimus unless it has at least some Rishoyim in it. There's the word on Chalbanim, there's the word on, they occurs a number of times throughout Chazal. And we also know that the Mizbeach has the capacity of being misak in something, placed upon it inappropriately, and keeping it up there. So it is not as much a double question as it would seem to me that the carbon from Russia First, we do absolutely do accept carbon. If you have shlomo specifically enjoined that we accept the carbonas from Rishayim.
No, we do not.
From the Lesser Island, yeah.
Okay, only not from Yidden. Clearly say that. Clearly,
I didn't say that. I meant from Rishayim.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
We did say some Rishayim.
Right.
And, you know, that there's no bedika on a guy.
Right, correct.
The one who ran Germany 70 years ago.
Correct. I'm still trying to see what are you driving at? There is a Zevach Rishon Tev and Pusik. I mean, that's a fact.
Absolutely. No, Yeshua is a very good Jew and knows a lot.
Because
more
you didn't have to want to return in order for us to accept their carbon. Your Raya from Chalbon on Tainus Tzibor is not a Raya, because that is the power of a Tainus Tzibor that we include those who aren't good, but the fact they're here shows some kind of desire to return. Again, it's to encompass those we hoping that they return, but that's not bringing for any individual. That's Klal Yisrael as a whole. It's a totally different thing, but it's not for here and now. It makes for a good Chumash here, but it's not for here and now. But there's no such thing as a dumb question. I will reiterate that. There's no such thing. Dunk the Gemara
by it. What are Rishayim?
Rishayim are bad people. Wicked people. Evil people.
How bad do they have to be?
The Gemara talks about it. It has to be someone. The Gemara talks about it's a sugi on chulin. It's not for here and now, but it's a sugi on chulin. To what degree of Russia don't we take? If he's a mumr l'chal Shabbos, if he's a mumr l'avedis t'chavim, he's out. That's for sure. That's the givens. And from there we can move on to someone that's a mumr for a different avera, but it's not the discussion here and now. But from here and Dachas is good enough. He's a mumr l'avedis zara. There's nothing to talk about. Again, I just said a moment ago that this is a machlokes rishayim. I don't know if you were here. I mentioned this is a machlokes rishayim. What happens to the people that didn't serve avodah zarah? Are they considered rishayim for this or not?
The word is Russia. Anyone who lives in the era of Zaha.
Again, for this purpose, not for anything else. Whether his possession in that city is called the zevach rishayim is a machlokes rishayim.
The tzaddik leaves the city because he doesn't get punished. He loses his possession.
Right.
He walks out of sight. He doesn't.
That's right. He's not totally not affected by being a Russia. Correct. It's aside Machlokes Rishayim. Some Rishayim saying that tzaddikim in the city there Kabbanas are brought, and some Rishayim saying that the fact that these Kabbanas were located in there in Nidachas makes it Zavach Rishon. It's Machlokes Rishayim. I don't pick sides in Rishayim. From Rashi with Mashma that the tzaddikim's Kabbanas are brought. That's the Gemara Baiter. Rish Lakish Amar Mamam Bailamu. Rish Lakish says. No, that some Kribanas are really Chaya Misa. Really, they belong to the individual. They are Mum and Bailam and should be killed like every other one of the possessions of anybody in the city, Tadik or Russia. No difference. It's Mum and Bailam. As he's going to explain momentarily, he's going to try it one way and then another way to say that according to some opinions, some Kribanas belong to their owner. They are considered possessions of their owner. Except being the fact that it's a carbon says, don't treat it like you would treat any other possession. Give it a more dignified form of dying. Give it a separate way of dying. So Reb Shlakish's answer is that the reason we don't let it graze till it gets a mum and then bring the money, because this animal's got to get killed. It belongs to the owner. And therefore, since it belongs to the owner, we've got to get rid of it. Except being the fact that it's a carbon allows us to, quote-unquote, circumvent the regular rule of killing it like we kill all other possessions, and we give it a more dignified form of dying, which is kibbutz. Now, Rav Shimon is going to explain himself. Since when do we find karbanas owned by individuals? Karbanas belong to Hegdish. Why in the world are we calling it owned by individuals? So, Rav Shlakish, because we're talking about karbanas that he has to replace. There are certain kibbutz that the owner obligates himself to replace, and there are some that he does not have to replace. If a guy promises to bring a nether, and then he separates an animal and he dies, he has to replace it. If a guy promises to bring this, he donates a carbon, he does not take it upon himself as a personal promise, then if it dies, he does not have to replace it. The ones that he has to replace, Rav Shimon says, the obligation of replacement makes him owner, makes him part owner. And therefore it is considered his possessions because he has an obligation to replace it. And therefore, Rav Shimon Idamar Mamam Bailamu, so according to Rav Shimon, therefore this is Ir HaNidachas possessions. This deserves to be killed like every other possession in the Ir HaNidachas. given the fact that it's a carbon, we give it a different treatment than we give everything else. So Rosh Lakish says, we can't let it graze to get the mum. We have to eradicate this. This is not hegdish possessions in the Yerni Dachas. These are personal possessions. What makes them personal possessions is the fact that the guy has a replacement obligation. Again, we can only take one Mandiyam at a time. Rabbi Eichon disagrees with this. The Mishnah said what to do with it. We put it in the Kippah. The Baisa has to do with it. One second, hold a second. The Baisa said, put it in a Kippah. That's the Baisa said. That's not questionable. The question was why. It doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to Hegdish. Why can't you let, you can't bring it on the Mizbeach because it came from the Yerni Dachas. So fine, so don't put it on the Mizbeach. Let it graze so it gets a mum and use the money for a carbon. So Rabbi Eichon answered, we don't want that money on the Mizbeach either. We don't want that money used for a carbon because it's Zevach Rishon to Eva.
And he does not have to replace it.
It's nothing to do with replacing, he's dead. The owner is dead. He's saying, since it's something that would have had to been replaced, that means it belongs to the individual. Nobody's replacing anything. The owner is dead.
They're both dead.
They're both dead. Exactly.
So nobody's really replacing it.
Again. Who does this carbon belong to now when everybody's alive?
The carbon of Yochanan belonged to the individual.
No, it did not. It belonged to Hegdish.
And that's why...
That's why the question of the Gemara was, but it grazed or gets a mum. And let's replace it and use it on the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Eichon had to come and say, we don't want this on the Mizbeach, even the money of it.
And Rishwakis
says, that doesn't bother us. It doesn't belong to Hegdish. It belongs to individual. Yes?
According to that, if someone, before they burn it, uses it...
It's Hegdish. You can't use it. Yes.
Even according to Rishwakis?
Absolutely.
So what does that mean? It's about violence.
Means it's considered his possessions with restrictions. With, with restrictions. With restrictions.
Even if you hold its hectishes, but it goes back to the violence. It's his.
If somebody would shoot it now, would he have to pay the owner? That's the question. The damage hectish or butter. If you go over to a Kachim Shechai Bachriusan, and you take a gun and shoot the animal, forget your any dachas. Reuven owns a carbon ilo.
Would that be a machlokas?
Yes.
Wow. Right, that's machlokas.
Yes, no, it's a machlokas. 10 places in Shas. And that's a guess. Made that up.
That's
no, with Shimon and Rabbanan. Whether Kachim belongs to the owner or not. So Rabbi Shlakish is saying this halacha, putting it into the kippah, is only according to Rabbi Shimon, not according to the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's even according to the Rabbanan. That machlokes of Shimon and Rabbanan exists, has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. That's independent. That machlokes of Shimon and Rabbanan is an existing machlokes. Any kachim that I have to replace, who does it belong to? Rabbi Shimon says it belongs to the owner, and Rabbanan said it belongs to Hegdish. Now, having said that, our Braisa said that we don't allow these animals to be grazed till they get a mum and then put the money to the carbon. Dr. Shlakish, that's only according to Rabbi Shimon. So according to the Rabbanan, there's no reason we would restrict it. What's wrong? You're not using the animal, you're using the money. What's wrong? Hegdish is money, use it for a carbon. So Shlakish says, I have no problem with that. The reason the Braisa didn't allow that is the Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, that these are personal possessions. Personal possessions have to be destroyed, and therefore we can't destroy Hegdish the way we destroy other things, but since it's personal possessions, they have to be destroyed. We cannot let it graze till it gets a mum. But if you hold on to Rabbanon, Shlakish says, go right ahead and let it graze. This is Makadosh, a new thing, that when we say Zavach Rishon Teva, doesn't only mean the animal itself, but it means even anything that's derived from this animal. The money derived from the animal is also Zavach Rishon Teva. And that goes according to Shimon and according to Rabbanon. It makes no difference. Yes, doctor.
This is a simple question. Then I think I misheard Rav Margaret. If someone says, I will bring this animal and that animal dies, they're done.
Yes.
If someone says, I will bring an animal and designates an animal,
then he's not done. Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
if this is, is Rish Lakish saying the same thing for all korbanos, whether or not, or is he making a distinction only the ones that he required to replace?
Only the ones he's required to replace. The ones that he's not required to replace, Rav Shimon would agree to the Rabbanon. There's no reason not to let this animal graze, develop a mum, use the money for the Mizveah.
The
Bryce is speaking about a specific case, and only according to one specific Mandi Amar. According to Rish Lakish. According to Abjadikin, it's a much more general statement. It includes all Karbanis, according to all Mandi Amrim, and that's because we don't want any derivative, any gain received from an animal from a Russia to be used on the Mizveah.
I mean, it's always known what type of korban this is.
Yeah, because the owner, I mean, I guess, you know, if you wouldn't know, it would be a good shayla. But usually people know. Rashi. Rav Shimon Udama Ba'azov, Kachim Shachai Bachriusim Amun Ba'ilamu. V'yesh Ben Maynor. He considers, that's what he says, and by the way, there's another Nafkamina. If you overcharge, whether it is a no, meaning exactly how you sell it, I'm not going to get involved in, but he says the halacha is, there would be a, usually hegdish, there's no eino. If a guy underpays hegdish for redemption, there's no eino. There's no such thing as cheating hegdish on price. Because hegdish is not a, the halachas of cheating are said between individuals. Hegdish, there's no halacha of cheating. If you pay hegdish a dollar for something that's worth $1,000, it's yours. Now, upstairs they might not be happy campers, but down here you got hegdish for a dollar, even though the thing is worth $1,000. Not preferred, not recommended, but it works. Whereas in Rav Shimon is saying, if this Kachim Shachai Bachayusim would develop a blemish, nothing to do with this Gemara, but if it would develop a blemish and you come to redeem it, you have to pay full value, because this is considered private property, because somebody's going to have to replace this carbon, and therefore you better pay full price for it. And they're really supposed to kill it by sword. Why don't we kill it with other animals? With respect for Shemayim. Correct the Gemara. This parent is, yes.
I asked this yesterday. It wasn't clear. If this Russia, before he became Russia, made it a korban, right?
Yes. We don't bring korbanos from Rishayim. It becomes mitzvah. There's no way we can bring this on the mizbeach. I don't care what kind of person he was yesterday. Today he's a Russia, his carbon doesn't go on the mizbeach. That's the way it is. At Baloch, I can't help it.
At the time, if it become, if you say it's already hektish, right? Let's just hektish already, right?
So his carbon, does he get brownie points for it?
At the time...
No, he gets brownie points when they bring it on the mizbeach. That's when he gets his brownie points.
Why did you say that?
That's not long. I can't help it. That's the fact.
He gets brownie points. Something happened to the Corbin.
He doesn't get brownie points.
And it just happened to it.
He doesn't get brownie points. He gets brownie points for trying it. He doesn't get brownie points for bringing it.
Well, what do you mean? If he wanted to do something, something happened.
I'm not getting involved in Chashavah. Fine. This is not Inus. Becoming a Rush is not an Inus. You can't say this answer, because the next part of Shimon says a different opinion. I mean, obviously, he's not the first opinion in this Braisa. So you can't attribute the first half of the Braisa to Shimon, because he himself says the second half of the Braisa, which we don't know what it means yet, but obviously he's arguing, disagreeing with the first half, so he's not the author of the first half of the Braisa. So that can't be shot in the Braisa. So, Tzigmar, you're right. Hello, Mekachim Kalam Aliba Drev Yeshag Lili. Mekachim Kalam Amam Bailam. This is a different opinion. And this is Rabbi Yitzhak Lili's opinion. It says that all kachim kalim, there are two kinds of korbanos. They go into two general categories. There are those korbanos that are called kachim kadashim. They are shechted in the north. They can only be eaten by... There are four differences, really, basic. They can only be eaten by kahanim. They are... I don't want to get involved in hilchos. I mean, there's four differences. I don't want to get involved in all four. But let's just say that... Kachim Kedushim have a higher level Kedusha. Kachim Kalim is a lower form of Kedusha. They include Shlomim and Taida and Bukhar and Meiser. These are Kabbalahs that are Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim is a lesser form of Kedusha. Rabbi Yitzhak Lili derives from Sukkim that Kachim Kalim is considered privately owned. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzhak Lili says a person can sell his kachim kalim because he's considered privately owned. He can sell his shlomim. Kachim kalim is considered his, and therefore, according to Rabbi Sagalili, kachim kalim are his. Therefore, they should be killed. The same thing we said by Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon, we made it depend on whether he has to replace it or not. In Rabbi Sagalili, it depends what kind of carbon it is or not.
The shlomim belongs to a kohen.
Again, shlomim and taida belong to the owner, according to Rabbi Sagalili. Afterwards, he has to give the chaz and the shaykh to the kohen. But while it's alive, it's the owner's. It's his money. And therefore, according to Rabbi Sagalili, this is chayiv misin dir nidachas, and we don't kill it the regular way because of respect. So therefore, we put it into the keeper. So again, Reb Shlakish is arguing in Reb Yechonin. Reb Yechonin says it's a statement by all korbanos. Reb Shlakish, it's a statement by certain korbanos which belong to the owner. Except we tried one way of ownership through Reb Shimon, and we said that can't work because Reb Shimon is the second man the Amar Debraisa. So we retract and we go a different way. We find a different Tana who says you own different kachim for a different reason. Kachim kalim belong to the owner. Now, according to Reb Shlakish, it would make no difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, because it's owned by that individual. It is the booty of the Ir Nidachas. It deserves to be killed. We cannot leave it around to develop a mum. We got to get rid of it. Except because it's a carbon, we treat it in a more respectful manner. Rashi, leave it there. Leave the Amar. The Perikama, the Babakama, Umala Mol Bashem, Lerabish Kachim Kalim Shema Maynai. He learns out from a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra that says a person will rebel against Hashem, and he includes kachim kalim. That's what mehem to mikru, because even their money is called their animals. Avul kachim kadashim, but enochinami had it been kachim kadashim, Reish Lakish would say yiru, let it graze. So avada he not to my main craving, we wouldn't bring them to zevach hashem teva. So when it's Shlokish, there are certain kabbanas that we would let graze. The guy had an asham or an ayla, and it developed, and it was in the Irani Dachas. These are kachin kadashim. We would let it graze and develop a mum and get the money and donate it to the nedava, put it into the box in the Beit HaMikdash, and they would bring kabbanas from it. Whereas Reish Lakish would not allow it. I'm sorry, where Rabbi Eichmann would not allow it, Reish Lakish says, according to Rabbi Eichmann, that's what we would do. That's what Reish Lakish says. Dr. Gemara, so it comes out, let me review again. According to Rabbi Eichmann, it's a general statement, according to all Tanoim, by all Kabbanas. These Kabbanas belong to a Russia. Since they belong to a Russia, they belong to Hedish, but they are in the Irani Dachas, have been donated by a Russia. Therefore, they cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Everybody's in agreement. Question is, can you let it graze and develop a mum? So to Rebbe Eichon, you're not going to gain anything because the money can't be used for the Mizbeach either. This is Rebbe Eichon's Chiddush. He expands Zevach Rishoim Teva to not only the animal itself, but to anything gotten from the animal, any pledge, any money received for the animal. And Reish Lakish disagrees. He says Zevach Rishoim Teva is only the animal itself. This is not the animal. This is money received from the animal. Therefore, he can't learn the Braita of Rabbi Eichonin. And he's forced to say that this animal belongs to the owner. But the kachim don't belong to the owner. So he's looking for some on the Amar that says that certain kabbanas do belong to the owner. And he finds Rabbi Eichonin who says kachim kalim belong to the owner. So therefore, according to Rabbi Eichonin, these animals belong to the owner and really should be killed. But since they're kachimayim, we do it a different way. But enochinami, those animals that don't belong to the owner, Reish Lakish would say, let it stay around or get some mum, take the money and use it for kabbana. So Reish Lakish is limiting the braisa to A, one man the Amar, B, to certain kinds of kabbanas. That a kabayis belongs to Hendish. And there's no, it's no bizayim. We use it to fix up things. That's not Zevach Rishon Teva.
That's not a Zevach.
That's not a Zevach. I mean, Rishon can donate to the Ben Kabayis. There's no restriction. No restriction. Did he get brownie points? Everybody can get brownie points for everything good you do. Everybody gets brownie points for everything good they do. Even for trying, get brownie points.
Why not?
You can't mix Hegdish's business. Mizbeach is one track and Dedekabayis is a different track, and you can't mix from one to the other. It's not one general fund. It's distinct funds with different halachas. It's under the generic term called Hekdesh, but really Hekdesh splits into two parts. There's Bayach and there's Bedek Abai.
If someone dies,
no, chatas can't be brought for. Chatas is different than any other carbon.
Any carbon that the Yorshim is children, even though Achayev has been from the father.
It's a machlokes. It depends. It depends on whether obligations of the father pass on to the son. It has nothing to do with karbanos. It has to do with general obligations. Somebody dies and he owes money. Does he just have to pay it? I mean, it's nothing. It depends. If he leaves over possession,
I'm talking about car, doesn't leave over possession.
So then they don't have to bring any carbon for him either. The obligation for children to bring their father's carbonas, by the way, does not apply to chatos. Would apply to Eilon Shlomim, but only if he left over possessions, land. If not, there's nothing to talk about. It's like any other obligation that he has.
So let's say he left over land.
So they would.
That's not
Aaron Adachas' land. No, we're not talking about Aaron Adachas now. These people, forget about them. They're dead. They're gone.
Their children have to.
Their children have to bring. If a Russia dies and left an obligation to a carbon, do the children have to bring it? I would assume yes, but I don't know for sure.
Even for a Russia.
I said I don't know for sure. I would assume yes. It has nothing to do with this Gemara. It has nothing to do with this animal.
Not with this animal, but it has to do with
that. Okay, but it has nothing to do with. It's not going to change this Raisa in any way, fashion. That's what I meant. Crack the Gemara.
That was interesting. So you can't even sell it. You couldn't even, part of Yochanan, you couldn't even use it for Benikabayas. That's interesting.
Can't mix Hekdesh funds.
Mix?
It's a different fund. I can't take your money and give it to Dr. Harris. It's yours, not his.
We're saying something. So it's better to do what then? Just let it.
That's what exactly it is, because it doesn't belong to Bedek Abayis. You can't use it for Bedek Abayis. It's not Bedek Abayis' money.
So what we're doing with it instead?
We're getting rid of it. That's the Gemara.
The Dabba.
We can't. The Dabba is Kabbalah. It's Mizbeach.
Is there the Dabba to Bedek Abayis?
When the Brisa said the Dabba, we talked the Dabba, we were talking Kabbalah.
I understand that. But
can I mix the two Hekdesh funds? It's fact. That's the Gemara. Abel Kutcha Kutcha, Ma Yivdu. What would you say about Kutcha Kutcha? That we do redeem it? At the Tani Sefer, Kutcha Benekabayas Yivdu. Why did we say in the Sefer that Kutcha Benekabayas can be redeemed? Why do we have to go to Kutcha Benekabayas? Why couldn't the price differentiate the type of carb? Medwar Mamurim Kutchim Kalim. Abel Kutcha Kutcha Yivdu. The price should have stuck to Karbanas and showed you the difference. Instead of saying a rule, Karbanas one thing, Benekabayas the other. When you're a slunk, it's not all Karbanas, it's only some Karbanas. Other Karbanas are redeemed, are allowed to have a mum. So why did the Brisa point that out? The Brisa makes it sound, it's Karbanas versus Benekabayas. It's not. It's Karbanas versus Karbanas, depending on the type of carb. And for the Gemara, I'll tell you why. There's a separate halacha. And that is, if a guy separates a chatas, he can be the biggest tzaddik in the world. And he did a sin b'shagig, and he separated a chatas, and then he died. That animal is killed. That animal is not brought on the Mizbeach. It's halacha l'mayishim et sinai. Chata shemesu b'aleha. So therefore, in the Kutchi Kedushim family, there's one Kutchi Kedushim that we wouldn't allow to graze and get a mum. That would be the chata. Because as soon as the owner gets killed, you have to kill the animal too. So the Braisa did not want to complicate matters. The Braisa would have to say, Kutchim Kalim is one halacha, Kutchi Kedushim is another halacha, except for chatas. Too complicated. So the Braisa said, Kutcha Mizbeach is one halacha, Kutcha Benekabayis is the other halacha, and let you figure out what it meant. Because it would have been too complicated for the Brisa to get into detail that in Kutcha Kedushim, most, we do a lot of graze. One, we don't a lot of graze. Too complicated. The Brisa stayed away from it. Dr. Rashi, Yehonki with the 20 Sefer, the Kamapu being Kutcha Mizbeach with Kutcha Benekabayis, little Gavusta with the Dabba, Kutcha Mizbeach Atzman, with the Kutcha Mizbeach itself being Kutcha Kalam with Kutcha Kedushim. Like we say, there are five chatos that we kill, and one of them is the chatos shemesu malah. Can't say kach the kadashim should graze. The kibin the meis from the mishram once the mishram are killed, yikin chatos shefrich shemchayim. If there are chatos that they separated, as with the mitzvah, we kill it. The whole chatos shemesu malah and meisus from Sefer Surias. The fire is tired. The Gemara there explains the reason. Avu shar kach kadashim and ashamah shemesu malahim yiru. And achinami ashamah and aylah would graze. That's the Gemara bite. So Mishnah Rabbi Yechon Lamek Rish Lakish Tchsub Zevach Rishon Teva. We understand why Rabbi Yechon didn't feel the need to say it like Rish Lakish. He has a pasuk. Anything that comes from Rishon is an abomination. We don't want to use it on the Mizbeach. El Rish Lakish, my time Lamek Rabbi Yechon. Doesn't he hold to the pasuk of Zevach Rishon Teva? So he says, I'm a lucky, he will answer you. Hear me then, Zevach Rishon Teva. When do we say the Kabbonos of Rishon are an abomination? The animal itself, when they are here. I'm lucky, even the Ishtani, we changed it into cash. Ishtani. That's not Zevach Rishon anymore. Therefore, he says the pasuk doesn't include the cash. So he needs another reason. Whereas the Yechonim thinks it includes the cash as well. Rashi, the Istu Beinayu, the Hin Aftimon Vada Edim Kreim. I'm sure we can't bring these at Kabbanas, Shem Zevach Rishon Teva. Avalach Adik Lameh Yiru V'Yiplu Lameh Ladaba. We're going to use the money. Even the Ishtani, once it's changed, like Kach Zevach Rishon Teva, there's no more Zevach Rishon Teva. Shimon Aymer, Behem Tukha V'Loi Behem Is Bechor U'Maiser. Shimon says, the Pasuk says, Behem Tukha, only your animals are killed, people that live in the Yerni Zachas, not the behemoth Bechor U'Maiser. Frank Tegmar B'Mayaskina. What is Reb Shimon excluding? Eli b'tamimim, is he excluding a Bechor? Now let me explain Bechor u'Maiser before we start, so we should understand this. Bechor u'Maiser are different than any other carbon. Every other carbon, a guy separates it, and he brings it as a carbon. If it develops a mum, he redeems it, and uses the money to bring a carbon. Guy donates to shlomim, the shlomim develops a mum, he redeems it, takes the money, uses it to buy another shlomim. The guy donates an asham, develops a mum, he redeems it, uses the money to buy a different asham. The guy donates a chatas, develops a mum, he redeems it, uses the money to buy another chatas. That's the halacha. By bechor and maaser, they're different. Bechor is the firstborn kosher animal, male. If it's the firstborn and it's a male, right, the halacha is it's given to the kayan, and if it's no blemish, it goes in the carbon on the mizbeach. That can only be eaten by kahanim. If it develops a blemish, the kayan keeps it. It's given to the kayan. He can eat it at home, and he can invite Yisraelim friends. That's the way we paskin. He can invite his Yisraelim friends to join. So bechor is not redeemed. Nobody ever pays for a bechor. If it gets a mum, it goes to the kayan and eats it at home. If it doesn't have a mum, it's given to the kayan and he takes it to the mizbeach. That's the halacha bechor. Unlike every other carbon, that when they develop a mum, you have to redeem it. This is not redeemed. This is given to the kayan. Without a mum, takes it to the mizbeach. Develops a mum, he doesn't have to replace it. Eats it at home. Maaser is maaser behema. Every tenth animal of the newborn animals of that year. What they do is they take all the newborn animals, they do this three times a year, and they put it in a pen. And they make them walk out of the pen. And they count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 gets a red, Mishnah says gets a red paint on it, and that is brought as a carbon maaser behema. It is the only carbon, it's one of the only two karbanas that the kohen gets no share of it. It's brought in the mizbeach, the owner gets to eat the whole thing. It's called maaser behema. Now, if that develops a mum, the owner does not have to replace it. He eats it at home as maaser b'mum. Does not have to replace it. So those two karbanas are never redeemed, are never replaced. If they develop a mum, they just continue their life as a balmum, and nothing has to be reimbursed to Hegdish. Unlike every other carbon that has to be replaced, when it has a mum, these do not have to be replaced. Yes? No. Bechor balmum and Maaser balmum have restrictions on them. And the restrictions are you can't work with them, you can't share their wool, you can't, you have to check and eat the meat. In fact, according to one man, the Amir can't even use the milk. Well, Bechor wouldn't have milk, it's a male, but a female Maaser would have milk. You cannot use, there are restrictions that limit it only to be shechted and eaten.
So you can't breed it, you can't do anything?
You could breed it, but we don't want it bred because you're bound to use it for the wrong things, because the kids would get the same halachas. And it would make problems. This is the word, that's our nightmare of a scenario, is that a guy is going to keep it around and breed it, and have animals walking around with these halachas restrictions on it. Sooner or later, somebody's going to start violating restrictions. So therefore,
thinking a Cohen maybe wants to make it profitable for himself, other than selling the wool or something.
He can't. He can't even use the wool.
No, I mean other than.
Right, no, he can't. He just got a chef to eat it. That's not halacha. But it doesn't have to be reimbursed to Hegdish. So now, we want to know, when Rav Shimon says, Behem Tukha, not Behem is Bechor u'Maaser, what is he talking about? Elim of Behem is Betimim, is he talking about animals that have no blemish? So this is a regular carbon. It's a regular carbon Bechor. It's a regular carbon Maaser. Shlal Shemayim, you know. This is not his, this belongs to Hegdish. Elim of Ali Mumim. Teretz is it developed a blemish. Once it develops a blemish, it's private property. It's private property of the Kayin, it's private property of the Yisrael who owns the Meiser. So Shlomo, why don't we kill it? Why don't we kill it? It's a regular animal. It used to be a carbon. It is now regularly owned. Why aren't we killing it? Come to Gemara, Amar Avina, Lailim Babali Mumin. It's talking about Bali Mumin. And there's a Kiddush, Rav Shimon is saying. The only kind of animals that are killed are private owned behemoths with no restrictions. People don't view it as a personal old animal. They say the guy is eating his bakar. The guy is eating his meister behemoth with a mum. Therefore, even though he owns it, but it's not regularly ownership of animals. It comes with a... The way Rashi explains it, it has a side name. It's not his animal, it's his bechor. It's not his animal, it's his meiser. And therefore, it's not included in the halacha of killing them. Even though now they don't belong to Hekdesh anymore. The owner, the kain can eat it and invite all his friends for a big party. The Yisrael who has the meiser behemoth that developed the mum can eat it and invite all his friends for a big party. However, since they are not regular animals, they are bechor baumum, they are meiser baumum, not called behem techa, and if Shimon holds, this is the argument of Shimon in the Tanakhama, and if Shimon holds we would not kill it, I'd like to do Rashi first. Dr. Rashi, below behem is b'chor and ma'is, Shem ho'im b'chor is ma'is, behem is shusha Yisrael, and ma'is behem is Yisrael, b'chol b'vedom b'chor, we bring the tzad and blood of the Mizmeach, hey ma'ch v'yisrael, ima v'le mikri behem techa, not called behem techa. Now if it didn't have a mum, shlal shemayim, or b'shlal enough, we learn that from the word shlal. Elam b'bali mumim, she'em b'em chelik l'gvoya, elam l'cholim l'bailam. They don't have a chelik to mizbeach. They're eaten by the owner. Shlolin in them. So why don't we kill it? So the Gemara loyelum b'bali mumim. After long kain esrafim mima, they're not burned. The deshina l'krohachi, we darshan the pasuk so. Behemta l'misha nechel l'b'haylum b'sayis behemtam. Only those that are eaten as behemoth. Yatsu elu sheyeshlam shem levai. They have a side name. She'ein echalum b'sayis behemtam. They cannot be eaten as their animals. People don't call it an animal in Nidachas. Behemoth Bakoru Maisa Shia Nidachas. There's an extra sidekick over here. It's called Behemoth Bakor, Behemoth Meiser. Therefore, it's not considered Behemta, and Reb Shimon absolves it from getting killed. Yes?
It doesn't matter if he's given it to the coin yet or not.
Doesn't matter giving it to the Kayin. At this point, it doesn't matter. The Chayrit should matter, but we're talking about that the Kayin had it already. Yeah. The Bukhari had, the Maitre Yisrael doesn't have to give to anybody. Yes, the Bukhari. Yes, they have to pay. Yes. Something about Maitre. Upligi the Shmuel. This argues on Shmuel. Because Shmuel said a bigger Kiddush. Right. El Batari is what I might say, Shlal Shemayim, you know, we treat it like Shlal Shemayim, meaning we treat it, it's not Behemtam, it's not really Shlal Shemayim, but some people take out this Girsa, on the side it brings down that Rashi is Mashma, that he doesn't have these lines. He just has El Batari is Bechor HaMaiser. Opligi de Shmuel, Barba Shmuel, HaKol Karav, HaKol Nivda. Everything is brought and everything is redeemed. Hetting by my Kamer, what does Shmuel mean? Haki Kamer. And this is what Shmuel holds. Shmuel holds that we're talking about Bechor Tamim. We're talking about a complete Bechor. And that Rav Shimon is saying that we learn it out from different sukkim. Rav Shimon holds any animal that if it has a blemish is redeemed is called Shlal Shemayim. Any animal that if it has a blemish does not have to be redeemed is personal property. He disagrees, this is going like Rav Shlokish, he disagrees with the Tanakhama that says all Kachim Kailam is Mamam Bailam. No. Kachim Kailam belongs to Hekdesh. Bechor u'Maiser are not really Hekdeshes. The proof is, if it develops a mum, you don't have to pay Hekdesh. So therefore, he says you need a special pasuk to exclude Bechor u'Maiser. Shlal Shemayim excludes all those things that Hekdesh would have to be reimbursed for. Bechor u'Maiser would not be excluded from there. Comes along, the Hemta, and excludes those kind of things that belong to him, but also have karbonis. So the bottom line is, Rav Shimon has, I disagree with the Tanakhama, who says all Kachim Kailam is considered privately owned. I think Kachim Kailam is not privately owned. I think Kachim Kailam can be allowed to get a mum, and be brought on the Mizbeach. That's what I think. Not like the Tanakhama. We're going like Rosh Lakish. that said that the Tanakhama says Kachim Kalim cannot be allowed to have a mum. Kachim Kadashim could be allowed to have a mum. Shmuel is saying that Shimon says, no, Kachim Kalim can also be allowed to develop a mum. And Bechara Meiser, which really is privately owned. The proof that it's privately owned is because you don't have to pay Hekdish when it gets a mum. Still, the Torah excludes it from getting killed. And we let it alive, and the Yarshim can get this and eat this, and it's not killed, it's not Asher Bano, it's totally Mutter. So this is Rav Shimon, according to Shmuel, so we have two versions of what the argument, the Tanakam and Rav Shimon is. Ravina says, everybody agrees that Kavanos are Shlal Shemayim. And Rav Shimon is not getting involved in that. Rav Shimon is saying that Bechor Balmum and Meiser Balmum are not killed out. And Shmuel is saying, no, Rav Shimon is saying that Bechor Tumim and Meiser Tumim, even though they don't really belong to Hekdish, still they don't get killed because of a separate pasuk. And he disagrees with the Tanakam and said all Kachim Kalim get killed because they belong to private. He says, Behemta says, makes no difference. It's not a regular animal, and since it's not a regular animal, it doesn't get killed. Let's read it inside in Rashi. Dr. Rashi, please go on the Rabbi Nadir Shmuel. Amr Shmuel Allah, the Homilsid of Shimon, Shmuel said, when we asked him what Shimon is talking about, Havim Mitara Tochi. He answered it as follows. I don't think I read the Gemara inside yet. My Kamar, Hoki Kamar. Kosha Karam Pshutam, I'm going back to the Gemara. Anything that's brought when it's complete, the Nivda Kshubalmum, and we pay Hegdish when it's a Balmum, then the Shlala Imait. We exclude it from the word Shlala. And anything that's brought when it's complete and is not redeemed when it's a balmum, he says that's not really Hekdish. The proof is you don't have to reimburse Hekdish for it. A mum happens, you just keep it. As a raya, that it's not Hekdish. So the reason we don't kill it is because of behema. So he disagrees with the Tanakhama who says that we can't let these things graze and develop a mum. He says, kachim can be allowed to graze and develop a mum. All kachim can be, all kabanas can be allowed to graze and have a mum. Even Bechor HaMeiser, where you would make an argument that that doesn't really belong to Hekdish because Hekdish doesn't get reimbursed, so there's a special pasuk for it. Whereas the Tanakhama says, any kachim kalim is considered private possessions, and therefore cannot be allowed to graze and have a mum. I'd like to do Rashi first. Dr. Rashi, my kamar, hoki kamar. Kochu karav l'gvaya, shutam. When it's a bamum, it needs to be redeemed. The shar kachim kalim chutz mivayser behema behema separate meiser behema and bechor. Hanu mishlola nafka. They makrin nicely, but we can't kill it. So hayu tzvicha b'diyah b'mumam since it needs to be redeemed. Shlal shemayim kriin avay. Upalagalei the Tanakhama damar kachim kalim mumam b'aylamu. He argues in the Tanakhama that views all kachim kalim as personal possessions. And anything that's brought at the time and not redeemed is a bamum. That's not called shlal shemayim. That's a little bit even when they're complete. You can't say this belongs to Hekdish. The proof is you don't have to redeem it. That's proof that it doesn't belong to Hekdish. You can't exclude it from shlala. He says, according to Shmuel, if it would have a mum, we would kill it. If it doesn't have a mum, we exclude it from behemta. So what we have over here is, let me just review what we have. Let's go through the Tanakhama, let's go through Rav Shimon. Tanakhama says one of two things. We have Rav Yechanan's version of the Tanakhama and Rish Lakish's version of the Tanakhama. Rav Yechanan's version of the Tanakhama was any carbon, even though it doesn't belong to the owner, but since it's a carbon of a Rasha, we can't use it, nor can we use any of the money. Therefore, we got to get rid of it, not because it's Chayim Misa as an Ir Nidachas. It's not. It's just we can't derive any pleasure from it. We can't use the money for Kavanas. So therefore, we bring it into the Kippah and dispose of it. Rish Lakish says, that's Rabbi Yechanan's understanding of the Tanakhama. Rish Lakish says, no. The Tanakhama is saying that it depends on what kind of carbon. Kachim Kalim belong to the owner, therefore should really be killed, but we don't kill it because of Kved Shemayim, so we put it into the Kippah. Kachim Kadashim, we allow it to graze, and no problem. Comes along Rav Shimon. According to Ravina, Rav Shimon is adding a new piece. That a Bechor HaMeiser Balmum, which the Tanakhama didn't discuss, and seemingly a Bechor HaMeiser Balmum belongs to the owner, the Tanakama would have it killed like every other animal of Yirnidagas, comes up Shimon and says, Bechara Maisha Balmum are also saved. Because they're not really Behemta, they are Behemta with a asterisk on it, saying it's Behema of Meiser or Behema of a Bechor, and therefore, even though they're not Bali Mumen, they're not destroyed. So according to Ravina, Rav Shimon is adding to the Tanakama. Tanakama said, Karbanis should be destroyed, according to Rishlakish, according to Bechlen, they can't be destroyed, but they have to be killed, but Bali Mum would be killed. So Rav Shimon adds, Bali Mum of Bechor and Meiser are not killed either. End of story. That's Ravina's interpretation. Shmuel says that Rav Shimon understood, Shmuel understands the Tanakhama like Rish Lakish. All Kachim Kalim are privately owned. All Kachim Kalim should get killed and don't get killed because of Kvayt Shemayim, so they're put into the Kippah. Rav Shimon says no. All Kachim Kalim belong to Hegdish. And don't you dare kill them. Let them redeem. Let them have a mum. The Choru Meiser don't belong to Hegdish because they are, Hegdish doesn't have to be reimbursed when they have a mum. Therefore, you need a special pasuk to exclude them that they don't get killed either. They're allowed to graze and develop a mum. However, if they already have a mum, according to Shmuel, we would kill them because they don't, they're not, they're regular animals at that point. I hope I explained myself. Yes?
Are these arguments all in the Rishonim?
Well, it depends. In Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that said Zevach Rishon, we have a Machlokes Rishonim. In Rish Lakish, it said privately owned, it makes no difference, Tzadik or Rasha. And in Rabbi Shimon, who says talks about ownership, also doesn't make a difference, Tzadik or Rasha. Shmuel was explaining Rabbi Shimon. It would make no difference, Tzadik or Rasha. These are personal possessions. Either they are personal possessions or they're excluded. If they're excluded, they're excluded for both. If they're not excluded, they're not excluded for either. Because they're possessions. It's not Zevach Rishon to Eva, it's possessions. No, the animal itself cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Right, so that part seemingly might only be by Rishon, not by Tzadik. If you're not killing them, right? Right. I hope I explained myself well. So we have two versions of understanding Tanakhama and two versions of understanding what Rav Shimon is adding. What is he changing in the Tanakhama? Fine, we'll continue with Rav Shimon tomorrow. Yeah.